Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show on this Thursday. Appreciate you being here with us. 800-282-2882 on the phone lines. We're still waiting for a Rittenhouse jury verdict, so we do not know, but we will bring you the moment we do. It could happen today, could happen tomorrow. We'll also do a little bit of, let's be honest, analysis bordering on speculation about what this jury's actually thinking. The latest is with that. Plus, we've got some numbers when it comes to COVID out of Vermont, out of Michigan. Troubling stuff. We look like we're heading into, at least in some states, quite a Thanksgiving period surge here. And then the way the media covers Joe Biden, that'll be a discussion we get to as well. He likes cars and ice cream and walks on the beach. This is from the Washington Post, by the way. It's supposed to be a serious newspaper. But one thing that's been fascinating to watch it play out, as we've seen the facts in this trial shatter the initial media narrative about Kyle Rittenhouse as a white supremacist, Kyle Rittenhouse as a active shooter, as an evildoer, is that somehow the narrative of racism continues. He shot three white guys. He's a white guy. They all attacked him. They all have extensive criminal records. And yet it's a story about racism. Here is Joy Reid, who does manage. It is actually something of a skill. She does manage to take anything and somehow make it about white supremacy, white racism. Here she is taking the Rittenhouse trial, which anyone who's been watching understands is in no way, shape, or form about Kyle Rittenhouse being a racist, but she still thinks it is. And oh, by the way, for good measure, brings in none other than the Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh into the discussion.
So this Kyle Rittenhouse trial, it reminded a lot of people of something, I just can't remember what it was. Oh, the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, in which Brett Kavanaugh, who had been accused by a high school friend of committing sexual abuse of her, cried his way through the hearings. In America, there's a thing about both white vigilantism and white tears, particularly male white tears. Really white tears in general. They Karen out, and then as soon as they get caught, it's like, bring waterworks. White men can get away with that too. And it has the same effect. Even as the right tries to politicize the idea that masculinity is being robbed from American men by multiculturalism and wokeism, they still want to be able to have their tears.
Clay, can I just ask, do you think there is an extent of anti-white rhetoric that MSNBC would not be okay with at this point? I just wonder, is there an outer limit to viciousness and sadism from the anchors over there? I'm curious.
Buck, pretend that Tucker Carlson or Sean Hannity or Laura Ingraham did the exact same bit Joy Reid just did. But they said, instead of white men, black men, Hispanic men, Asian men, is there any doubt that all of the woke vigilantes out there would immediately demand that they be fired for racism? This is the thing that I think is significant here. We have created a world where white people can be attacked based on their race that is not allowed in any way anywhere else. These are the peculiar rules of identity politics. And Buck, what it does is corrode everything. Because if you're not applying consistent standards, first of all, if you're basing anything, let me just be clear on this. If you are basing anything, success, failure, significance, insignificance, on someone's race, you are an imbecile. Because that is the definition of racism, to say somebody did this because of the color of their skin, or someone can or cannot do this because of the color of their skin. And this is the sort of convoluted circular logic that we have arrived at, where now modern day left-wing wokists are the most racist people in America. And there's not even a close second to them, Buck. And so Joy Reid is not intelligent. She doesn't make ever strong arguments. All she does is embrace identity politics and cancel culture, which are the twin pillars of Democratic Party association now, which are going to destroy the Democratic Party. And she is going to be leading them right off the cliff into oblivion.
You see this with even the left's approach to CRT and the parents who are upset about CRT being taught to their kids. You're supposed to submit to a leftist Democrat narrative of anti-whiteness, of whiteness, white supremacy as bad things, inherently oppressive. You're supposed to say you're right. And if you don't, the game is that in and of itself is evidence of your racism as a white person. If you won't sit there and say White Fragility is a great book, it's not idiotic, it's amazing. If you won't sit there and say, you know what, I should teach my kids that somehow the sins of their ancestors fall upon their heads today in America, and they are guilty just because of their white skin color, this is the kind of rhetoric that is all over the place among Democrats. They put these people on TV who will speak about this as though there's some kind of PhD in anti-whiteness. That this is, they create these pseudo academic frameworks for the discussion. And Clay, some people on the left are finally realizing, you know, even irrespective of whether there's any truth, veracity, any reality behind some of these different frameworks for analyzing race in America, if they stay with this CRT is either a fiction or parents who don't like it are bad, they're going to get annihilated in the midterm election. And I think Bill Maher, we've brought him up several times, again, definitely a liberal, but does have, you can have a rational discussion with him. I've done it before on certain topics. And he even admits that on this issue of essentially anti-white racism,
yes,
which the left says does not exist, by the way. It's impossible to be racist against white people. They're wrong. Bill Markley says this is a big problem.
We learned about the Civil War. I mean, they mentioned racism. We understood slavery and Lincoln and blah, blah, blah. But they didn't really go into it any more than Gone with the Wind goes into it. It was there, but you didn't feel it viscerally. Now we're doing that. And I think that's a good thing. People should understand that. That's different than teaching that racism is the essence of America. That's what people get upset about. Or involving children who are probably not old enough or sophisticated enough to understand this very complicated issue. Kids are taught and sometimes separated into groups, oppressor and oppressed. Again, does a kid even know what those words mean?
I think this is so well said by Bill Maher. And what we should say also, while we played the clip of Joy Reid, some of the foremost proponents of anti-white racism are white. There is a, in fact, that's the primary cadre of woke liberals. It's typically not Black, Hispanic, or Asian people that are embracing anti-white tropes as much as it is the woke, your Brooklyn brethren in New York City. You can kind of look at them and feel like, okay, this is the kind of person who is going to come out and say white people are awful. The number of white people that run around on social media talking about how awful white people are and propagating modern day racism, that's the legion that I see, Buck. I mean, those are the people that are desperate to sort of advance this woke ideology, is people who are driving the Democratic Party, like I said, right off the cliff. Most of them are not Black women like Joy Reid. Most of them are white men and women of extremely liberal bent who have convinced themselves that America is a fundamentally awful place, and they define America entirely based on slavery. And this is important, too, in a larger context, Buck. Slavery existed everywhere. We have this idea in America that uniquely America was a proponent of slavery, and almost nowhere else in the world had slavery. It's a flagrant misunderstanding of world history. Look, slavery is a stain and a sin on American history. But in America, that, I think this is significant, slavery was only legal for 80 years. from 1783, when we gained our independence, to 1863, when Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This country had legal slavery for 80 years. Pre that, you should be angry at England, which allowed slavery in the colonies when we had no actual independence. And you can argue, well, we didn't have the full fruition of equality in 1863 when the Emancipation Proclamation happened. But for the vast majority of kids that are in school today, the idea that they're responsible for something that happened 150 years ago is fundamentally, to me, barbaric and insane.
Yeah, what are we actually supposed to do based upon this framework of whether it's critical race theory or the essentially the rhetoric coming out of the left today, which is that white supremacy is infused in everything about America. It's infused in capitalism, in free markets, in the Constitution, our government. If everything around us is racist, well, then what exactly are we supposed to do? The only answer to that, the only real answer to that, is to submit to and obey and give power to whomever is making that argument. The yes. whole purpose of this is essentially to deconstruct. Power. It's about power. It's about to deconstruct America as we know it, the society all around us, and allow the people that are pushing this movement to reconstruct it in whatever way they see fit. It's essentially, and this is why I do think the term racial Marxism is very apt here, because they do view this as a beachhead of sorts into creating an internal revolution, certainly a cultural and political revolution from within America, to undo so much of what has been built and kept this country together for a very long time and create a new image of America that is rooted in intersectionality and essentially oppression studies. And as you point out, Clay, if you actually know the history, if one knows the history, they would know that there was a massive slave trade in the Mediterranean of white Christians by the Muslim slave traders. There were African tribes enslaving other African tribes, the Aztecs enslaving all the tribes around them here in the Americas. We can go on for
the Greeks,
literally
the Romans, like yeah, all go, of thousands of years,
the Jews, the Jews in Egypt. I mean, you know, the Bible, we go back all over the place. What does that have to do with how we can make schools better today for everyone's kids by adopting school choice, right? What does that have to do with the principle that we're all equal in the eyes of God and in the eyes of the law in this country as individuals, as human beings, irrespective of skin color? They are pushing constantly, the critical race theorists, a different approach. And by the way, they keep doing this. It's not CRT, whatever. This version of America as a white supremacist state, which is the narrative from the left now, is so destructive, and it's also going counter to the best things about this country, which are rooted in individual equality in the law and in the eyes of God.
Meritocracy, and the best man or woman wins.
They're creating what the Supreme Court has referred to, at least I believe it was in a dissent by Alito, the racial entitlement state. And who gets to make the determinations? This is where the Marxist revolutionary comes into play. Who makes the determinations about what's fair, what's right? Who gets what? Where do Asians fit into the hierarchy?
They don't, LGBT, because they're too successful.
Yeah. Does the LGBTQ community, are they to be put in a place of greater hierarchy in the oppression studies than the black community? Or how do we figure that out? If you're trans, it's dizzying and it's incoherent. It's just meant to frighten people. It's moral blackmail against America by people who are either ruthless in their pursuit of power or idiots or both, actually. A lot of both.
And I also think a lot of it's coming from China. You know, they're taking advantage of our social media openness, and our enemies in the world recognize that the way to destroy America is not to attack externally. It's to get us so riled up, divided based on our diversity in this country, that we're throwing punches at each other in the country instead of recognizing that we're getting punched in the back of the head every damn day by China.
KGB was doing this in this country with direct operations against us, trying to pull at our seams. And, you know, they don't teach that in the schools, though. They don't teach about the communist penetrations of this country either. We'll do some of that on this show. We love our pets on this program. They're a part of our families. It's why we want to make sure they're healthy and live a long time. You gotta add some stuff into their dog food, though, because dry kibble sits on shipping crates or warehouses for years sometimes. And so the manufacturers have to use a sterilization process. Well, that's not good, because in that food, you would normally have things like enzymes, probiotics, vitamins, omega oils. Rough Greens adds that back into your dog's kibble. It's a healthy supplement you put into your dog's food with all the live nutrients necessary for superior dog health. Rough Greens is a 100% vegan additive with no GMOs, antibiotics, hormones, or filler. So you just add this in, and Rough Greens will make your dog healthier by making your dog's food better. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog is going to love it, they've got a great way to get started. Go to roughgreens.com, that's R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/EIB, and they're going to give you the first bag free. All you pay is shipping. That's roughgreens.com/EIB, roughgreens.com/EIB.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Buck, I am fighting it. We had a great Patriot Awards last night. But people may be able to hear in my voice, got a little bit of a cold, and I'm in the coldest studio in the history of the world here in Miami. But we had an incredible crowd last night, and Ron DeSantis came out at the Patriot Awards that Fox Nation did. I think it's going to air on Fox News soon. And did you see this while I'm in Florida? I wake up this morning and I see the headline. Buck, DeSantis is signing anti-COVID vaccine mandate laws in Brandon, Florida today.
Ronnie D is the man.
How unbelievable is that?
Ronnie D is the man. It's fantastic.
There were a lot of Trump DeSantis chants. If you right now, Buck, if you presume that Trump is going to run, is there a better running mate for Trump? Because, you know, if he wins, which I think he would, he only gets 4 years. So the VP selection is going to be massively important. We know he's not going to go with Pence again. Would you go Trump DeSantis beyond a shadow? Would you sign up for that ticket right now in 24?
Oh, absolutely. And I think no question.
Is that the best one?
Yeah, that's based on what I see right now. I mean, do you have an alternative that you think is even in the same category of excitement right now for the base, for the folks across the country listening? I don't think so. I think that's like a super team.
I think it is. And look, that's assuming Trump decides to run, because obviously there will be a wide open primary if Trump doesn't decide to run, and DeSantis would probably be one of the people running for president. But down here in Florida, seeing the reaction that he got in person at this event, and also thinking about the fact that Trump would only have 4 years, his VP selection would be so important. I think that DeSantis would be an incredible choice for him. It takes Florida off the map to the extent that it's on the map at all. And I think everybody listening to us right now would be ecstatic to run to their polling place and vote for that ticket. I really do. I think it's the best possible ticket that's out there. When we come back, we'll break down a little bit more on the Rittenhouse case. Joe Biden has hit a new low in overall approval, believe it or not. I got to tell you right now, you're probably spending too much money on your cell phone plan. And right now, you can get a $50 or $60 a month savings up to $800 a year. Do what my family did. My 13-year-old is on this Pure Talk plan. I've had them in my house. These are fantastic, trustworthy people. And right now, you can get unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data on Pure Talk's 5G network for just $30 a month. And they have a 30-day risk-free guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. How do you get signed up? From your cell phone right now, get it in your hands, dial #250, say Pure Talk. You'll save 50% off your first month, and you can also get a new phone. It's an incredible deal. That's #250, say Pure Talk. Some restrictions apply. Call for details. Do it today.
How low can Joe's approval go? A question we're going to address here in a moment. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. I'm in NYC. Clay down in sunny Miami, Florida. Hello. And we are going to be diving into this because the Biden administration's got problems. We know that. And they don't have a way of turning it around very easily. Now, that's in part because Biden is, as we all thought he would be, a facade, a Trojan horse for a far more left-wing Democrat party than what he pretended to be representing as a candidate in 2020. And we see, whether it's the failure at the border, the rise of inflation, any number of areas of incompetence, the withdrawal from Afghanistan, all these different things that have shown that the Biden team can't get it done, they have to come up with, the media who are in Biden's pocket. Just imagine for a second that Biden had to deal with what Trump did. A corporate journo establishment that is 95% devoted to nothing but the eradication, the destruction of a presidency, willing to lie ruthlessly and relentlessly about Russia collusion to try to undermine them. Imagine what befuddled Joe Biden would sound like with that going on.
More fires in the West burned to the ground, homes, businesses, and forests than the entire state of New Jersey from Cape May to New York City. This is the United States of America, for God's sake. And why is it happening? Well, there's severe storms and they're knocking down all the wires. Anyway, there's a lot going on. We have to, this law builds back our bridges, our water systems, our power lines, our grids, and for better and stronger resilience.
You know, Clay, in the Washington Post, just to give a sense of what I said a second ago about the corporate media, here is a piece in the Washington Post about the current president, given all the problems that are going on. Joe Biden's entire life has been crafted in many ways around cars, the affection for automobiles as much a part of him as his Irishness and his love of ice cream, as Biden again gets behind the wheel, re-upping, quote, I'm a car guy, a take on Biden. That was in the Washington Post today. Do you remember anything like that when Donald Trump was president, about his Irishness and his charm?
We talked about this, Buck. If the media weren't biased, this is just fun for everybody out there to think about, there would have been inaccurate stories about Donald Trump that were beneficial for him, right? We know all of the lies that were spread about Donald Trump. But if it were just media incompetence and not agenda-driven anti-Trump narratives, then there would be some great stories out there that might not be true. And I'll just make one up. Donald Trump gave $20 million to the Kids Make-A-Wish Foundation, right? I'm just making that up. That story could be out there and you'd be like, oh, that was really nice of Donald Trump to give $20 million to Make-A-Wish. And then it comes out that he didn't actually give $20 million to Make-A-Wish. But it's a story that was wrong, right? That would have been very beneficial to Trump. Every single person listening to us right now, all across the country, all the podcast, none of them. Think about how crazy this is, Buck. There is no positive story about Donald Trump that spread widely, that went viral, and was later determined to be untrue. Now, compare that with all the awful stories about Trump that spread virally that later was proven to be untrue. That's what agenda journalism is. If it was just incompetence, sometimes it would be incompetence in his favor. Never happened.
We also know that they're trying to explain to the American people this administration in the most favorable way they can, and they're struggling in part because how do you explain this?
Conversations around those kitchen tables that are both profound as they are ordinary. How do I cross a bridge in a snowstorm? What happened? No, I didn't think about it. You know, you're in a situation, what happens if the bridge collapses and there's a fire on the other side? It's going to take 10 miles longer to get to the fire. People could die. I mean, this is real. These are real stuff.
All random sentences that are just mixed together that have no connection whatsoever. This is what, sadly, a mind that is grappling with dementia sounds like. Buck, every time I listen to that, I just think, my God, this is so uncomfortable, and our country is in such an unfortunate position that this is the guy.
They've also created, for a long time now, this notion of good old, you know, uncle or now grandpa Joe that everybody can count on. He's such a good guy. Sure, he says things a little off the cuff sometimes, but, you know, he's a charming Irishman with a big grin who likes cars and ice cream. They've created this whole story around the guy. Joe Biden's actually a jerk, folks. What people don't realize is he's actually not a super nice guy at all. And if you want an exhibit A on this one, Joe Biden used for a long time, he used to tell a story. And the story was about the very tragic death of his wife and his young daughter in a car accident. Now, that's horrible. Joe would tell the story, obviously a tragic event. A lot of political sympathy came to him as well. He told the story for many, many years, which, fine, right? This is a real life event. And obviously, Beau and Hunter Biden were in the car too. They survived. The issue is that multiple times in public giving speeches, Joe Biden claimed, because it was an even more tragic story, that the driver of the truck that hit his wife's car was drunk. That is a lie. That is a lie. That is not true. That actually affected the life of that truck driver, because he then became known as the guy who killed Joe Biden's wife because he was driving drunk, even though that is a lie. Joe Biden said this numerous times. They've actually had to do fact checks on this. He didn't care, Clay, because it was too valuable a story to tell in that way. I mean, who does that? By the way, what happened was his wife, tragically, blew through a stop sign and was hit by a semi. It was a car accident. It was not the truck driver's fault. But he said multiple times in public, the driver was drunk. That's a reckless thing to say. It's a wrong thing to do. Joe Biden's not some cuddly grandfather, folks. That's just the act.
And unfortunately, he's not even a good actor anymore, Buck, because acting requires cognitive ability that he doesn't have. And again, going back to the larger bias at play here, and I think we need to keep hammering it on this show because I don't hear very many people talking about it. We spent years talking about the 25th Amendment and Donald Trump. Have you heard a single legitimate debate on CNN or MSNBC? Every time Donald Trump misspoke, it was evidence that his brain had deteriorated. He had to take a cognitive test. He cheated on the cognitive test. There's no way he could pass it. They had doctors on to analyze his mental capacity. Buck, over half of people in a recent poll, over half, and this is a very divided country, but over half said Joe Biden has dementia, that his brain is not working well.
And the problem, Clay, is that they used identity politics as a primary decision-making point on who the vice president would be. And now we're seeing, what do the American people actually think of the vice president and the role she's in? No one thinks she's particularly adept or capable or even likable. And so this is how she pushes back on it.
Month after month after month, I've traveled around the country, as has the president. We have convened members of Congress. We have convened people around our nation asking, what do you want? And this is a response to what they want. And it's actually going to hit the ground in a way that is going to have direct impact on the American people. We're getting things done and we're doing it together.
So you don't feel misused or underused?
No, I don't. I am very, very excited about the work that we have accomplished, but I am also absolutely, absolutely clear-eyed that there is a lot more to do and we're going to get it done.
Clay, every time I hear Kamala speak, it really reminds me of being in a brutally useless HR meeting. You know, one of those HR trainings that you don't want to sit through, where they're telling you things you already know that no one needs to hear, but the person telling you knows you have no choice. You have to listen.
I think this is also a function, Buck, of what one-party rule creates. She came out of California. Nobody was really a viable opponent to her. The media was cheering for her. And as a result, she didn't develop political skills that analyze the best attributes of her side and the other side. And she seems wildly uncomfortable in her own skin. Does that make sense? Like, everything she does feels like it's an actress who isn't particularly talented at being an actress trying to pretend to be something. She doesn't ever seem like a real person.
Oh, she lacks authenticity when she is speaking to the American people?
But she feels like she's a bad actress along the way.
Clay, we got to get you some hot tea, my man. Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and his team have hooked Clay and me up with so many of their amazing products, and I'm sleeping better than I have ever before. You got to trust Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. These pillows won't go flat. You can wash and dry them constantly. Most importantly, they're made here in the USA. Mike Lindell's built a great American company employing a lot of Americans. You should be supporting what he's up to. For a limited time, Mike is offering his MyPillows, the one that started it all, for his lowest price ever. You can get a standard MyPillow for $19.98, originally $69.98. That's a $50 savings with promo code Clay, Clay and Buck.
Yeah, it's super easy. You need to sign up. You'll be glad that you did. He's also extending his money-back guarantee trial until March the 1st of next year. Right now, go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, and enter the promo code Clay and Buck. You can also call 800-792-3269 for these great radio specials.
Back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, everybody. 800-282-2882. Let's get some calls going here. We have Alexis in Texas. What's going on, Alexis?
Hi, sir. How are you doing? So I just wanted to cover on and talk about Governor Ron DeSantis possibly being a running mate for President Trump. I have mixed feelings about it. Most definitely, if President Trump was to run today, I would vote for him. If he was to run in 2024 with Ron DeSantis as his VP, I would definitely run go for it. But I just feel like right now we're all seeing how corrupt our federal government is. We're all seeing how corrupt the establishment, the system is. So I feel like why would we throw our best governor to the wolves when he can just stay in Florida for as long as he can and protect those that are running there? Because at some point, sir, we're telling everybody to move out of these cities, move in bulk, go where you're valued and where your values are. So why would we take our best governor and send them somewhere where
it's a good question. And Alexis, I appreciate how polite she is. You can call me Buck, Alexis. It's very nice.
Thank you for the call. I mean, I understand. I was talking to a couple of my buddies who live in Florida now, and they made that same argument. They said, look, if he's not going to be president, I would rather have him in Florida from 2022 to 2026, fighting all the battles that matter in the state of Florida. And that's as high of an endorsement as you can get for a governor to be that popular that people who live in the state don't want to lose him to a vice presidency.
I think there's a lot to that, because so that's an excellent point from Alexis. And also you see how California has really become the distillation of leftist, liberal, Democratic Party rule in America. I mean, New York is pretty bad too, but California more than any other place. It's funny because New York, I do a show. I mean, I'm sitting here, Clay. We're doing this show. I'm in New York City. There's over a million Republicans here, right?
Yes.
So you got a lot of Republicans around me, but of course we're greatly outnumbered. Same thing. We've got big audiences in places like Los Angeles and San Diego and on the stations there, but they're surrounded by libs too. But California has become the distillation, I think that's a good way of putting it, or the epitome, if you will, of leftist rule. Florida continuing to be a place of freedom, prosperity, success, and people voting with their feet to go there. And it's not a super red state, you know?
I think that's
it's
important.
Not the Dakotas. It's not, Utah. Florida showing that if you just leave the Republicans in charge, great things can happen for your state is a very powerful political message.
Here's a good question for you too, Buck. Florida is, like you said, a very 50-50-ish state, although it seems to be moving, as Ron DeSantis told us the last time he came on, there are now more Republicans registered in Florida. It's never happened before. There's always been more Democrats. But if you look at California, the full fruition of Democratic ideals leads to disaster. Has there ever been a state that embodied full-on Republican politics that has ended in disaster? I mean, it's kind of interesting to think about, right? It's an interesting test because, as you mentioned, there's the Utahs, there's the Dakotas, you know, states that you know are going to go red. There's no equivalent of California where people can't even feel comfortable like leaving their cars parked on the road because they're going to get broken into, or where Walgreens is shutting down because you can't even stay open.
This has been almost a parlor game or conversation for conservatives for a long time now, where they'd say, can we just, I've spoken to many people that folks listening would know, people in media, conservatives, people in politics on the right. We say, can we just flip one city and make it
and make it the
conservatives, you know, even for example, where you are in Tennessee, right?
Yes.
Nashville is blue.
Yes.
You know, you look at these cities, Dallas is blue.
Yeah. What's the reddest big city?
I think it's Fort Worth is basically 50-50, but
what about Salt Lake?
I think Fort Worth is bigger than Salt. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I made that up. Someone should fact check me. Our Salt Lake audience is like, how dare you, sir?
I'm thinking in the context of, you know, sports teams, right? Because you have to be a decent sized city by and large. Most of them. I mean, I know that somebody could be like, well, Green Bay's not very big. Yeah. Okay. For the most part, professional sports cities have to be pretty big. I'm trying to think. You can tweet us at Buck Sexton, at Clay Travis.
Oh, no, Fort Worth is much bigger. Fort Worth is 800,000, and Salt Lake City is like 150,000. So very, very different. Fort Worth is much, much bigger. Or 200,000 is what I see here for Salt Lake. Fort Worth is 800,000.
And this is one of those things where you get complicated, right? Like, because some places define themselves. Like, for instance, Jacksonville. We have a lot of listeners in Jacksonville. The city of Jacksonville never ends, Buck. You can drive for like 4 hours and you're still in Jacksonville.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
then some cities are tiny, right?
Clay, like, I just checked this out, too. Fact checking. You're totally right, by the way. When you expand to the suburbs,
yes,
you know,
and counties,
the people, a lot of the freedom lovers in Houston, for example, live,
yes,
you know, 30 or 40 minutes from downtown Houston, from what I understand. Not that there's really a downtown, but you know what I mean? From the center
yes,
point. Salt Lake City, 50, according to what I see here on the interwebs, 53% of Salt Lake City residents voted Democrat in the last election. So there's another
crazy
one
to think about, right?
Another
like
there's
one. There's almost no red city.
Yeah. We can call it the Conservative City Project. It's a dream we've had for a long time. You sort of run one city where we have, you know, clean streets, low taxes, back the blue. Like, I don't know. It'd be fun.
I'd love to know what the closest city to that is.
Clay, you want to tell us what's going on in Vermont, by the way, we come back? Because the numbers are concerning from a COVID perspective. We'll get into that. Plus, we're watching for the Rittenhouse verdict. We'll stay with it. Stay with us.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.